The Takeaway is supported by the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable development in communities across the country. More at rockfound.org. You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Well, let's talk about banks, shall we? And there's clearly a lot to talk about with American banks, in particular Bank of America, who is expected to cut about 30,000 positions in order to bring their profits up. But we're going to have to start in Europe with talking about banks in France, or at least a few of them. Overnight, we got the news that the credit rating agency Moody's has downgraded two French banks after reviewing their exposure to Greek debt. And joining us now, Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. First of all, what was behind this downgrading of these two French banks? They just own too much Greek debt?
Well, you know, they actually don't own all that much. They do own some. One of the big French banks, Societe Generale, also has a partial ownership of a Greek bank. So, you know, if that Greek bank went down, they would lose some money. But this isn't like, you know, all of their money is invested in Greece. It is just a portion. The real reason that there's a downgrade and the reason people are worried about these banks is more a run on them. You know, what you saw in August is you saw their cost of borrowing in the short-term market went up a lot because people are worried that these banks may be in trouble, not only because of their Greek holdings, but because of money that they've lent to Italian, Portugal, Spain, all these different countries. They've lent a lot of money to them. They own their bonds. So it's really about there's a panic going on in Europe, and the rating agencies are afraid that it's affecting the ability of Societe Generale and Crédit Agricole to do their business.
Well, is this part of a growing consensus, and I say that hesitantly, that a Greek default is inevitable?
Well, we don't know. So, you know, we'll know at the end of the month, but in July, there was a deal that was worked out in Europe where they would take a haircut on some of the Greek debt, and they had this big deal. And if that happens, it may or may not be called a default. It's a default. It's more of a workout on the debt. But all of the governments in Europe have to approve this month. And so one of the reasons the market is so jittery is we're all waiting to see if the 17 parliaments that are in the eurozone agree to this deal with Greece. And if they don't agree to the deal, then there may be an all-out default, which could cause panic. But again, the concern here is, what exposure do these banks have to everyone else in Europe? I mean, Greece is tiny. Their economy is tiny. Italy is not tiny. Their economy is not tiny. And so the problem is that they've got really big budget problems in those other countries, too. And these French banks have a lot of exposure to them. And now the French banks have problems of their own because the market doesn't trust that they're okay. And so money market funds have pulled out of investing in a lot of the French banks. And then a lot of the short-term borrowing they do to run parts of their business has gotten a lot more expensive. So it's a little bit like in the financial crisis in the United States in 2008, things can become a little self-fulfilling. You remember in the weeks before Bear Stearns went down, in the weeks before Lehman went down, their counterparties, the trading partners, the hedge funds and banks that did business from them pulled away. And so suddenly, even keeping their lights on became more expensive because all their counterparties pulled away. So it can become a little self-fulfilling, and you have seen somewhat of a pullback from the French banks.
We're speaking with Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. And I should say that President Nicolas Sarkozy of France and Chancellor Angela Merkel of Germany are going to hold a video conference call tonight with the Greek prime minister. It could be about restructuring Greek debt again, which I assume might be designed to calm the markets and calm investors. But, you know, when you connect this with banks, and pardon me if I'm connecting dots I shouldn't connect, but you look at Bank of America cutting 30,000 jobs, are American banks feeling like they're exposed to the European crisis as well and maybe trying to look ahead and cut their own costs to insulate themselves?
The exposure for American banks is a little indirect, but there is exposure. So for most cases, the American banks they're not invested in the European banks, or they don't own much Greek debt, but they're very affected by a global slowdown. And when the recession looks more likely, like it does now, the banks start laying off people. Because
recession in Europe.
Well, there's a global recession likelihood now. You know, people are talking about a recession in the United States, and a recession in Europe, all over the world. You know, we're very interconnected now. You know, countries don't operate in isolated economies, and it's very connected. So the layoffs are really because of the likelihood of another recession, or at least the slower recovery. However, part of the reason the recession is more likely now is because the markets are so jittery and so panicked over what's going to happen in Europe that it's just frozen some business activity. It's blocked from some companies from hiring people. And of course, that turns into, you know, another likelihood of a recession.
Well, we also have, but at the same time, and here's what makes the economy and Wall Street so confusing for me. You've got Barron's reporting, in the wake of the stock market's sharp slide in recent weeks, investors have turned bearish on stocks. But this is the thing that we have. Here you're talking about the exposure to Greek debt, which is weakening French banks, which is making the investors jittery in Europe, which is making Americans who are indirectly affected nervous, and could possibly help to bring about another double dip recession in the United States. So how does that translate into investors saying, hey, this is a great time to buy?
Well, you know, there's some investors who think it's a good time to buy, but there's a lot who don't. That's part of why you've seen so much volatility in the market. But it's clearly not everyone thinks it's a great time to buy, because we've had a lot of down days and the stock market overall isn't going up. There's some investors who look, what they do all these fancy calculations where they look at the value of the assets on the books of these companies and they estimate the future earnings. And some of them come back and say, well, these cash flows look like they're worth a lot more than the stock would indicate, so it's cheap. But, you know, the item that will drive everything for so many companies, not all companies, but so many companies, is what the American economy does, okay? Because there aren't that many companies that could continue to make much money if we had another recession, right? That would mean consumer spending could go down even more. Consumers are typically 70% of the spending in the economy. That means the housing market, you know, already is going down, but could go down even more. I mean, it's just a spiral. Companies cannot make lots of money when we're in a really bad recession, particularly a double dip recession, because they're already so weak. So if you believe that our economy is going to recover, then maybe you're bullish on the stock market. Maybe you think it sounds great. But if you're getting more negative on the economy, that's probably your point of view on the stock market.
I see. Louise Story is the Wall Street and Finance Reporter for our partner, the New York Times. Louise, as always, thanks so much.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.